fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
And we're live. Awesome. Welcome, everyone, to the Fearless Wandering Podcast live stream. We are live again, and we're excited to be here with you all. I'm one of your hosts, Trenton Powell, joined by my other host, Tobiah. Tobiah, how are you?
I'm doing good. Excited to be here. Got some fun stuff to talk about.
Definitely.
I know I'm going to be sharing some of my opinions on some things. And
I'll share mine. And
yeah,
think we might have some disagreements maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. It'll be fun.
We just see. Well, Tobiah, how Man, there's a. I feel like it's been a little while since we've done a live stream, but yeah, he's last one. It was just you doing talking about AI, and you know, there's been a lot of things about AI lately. Mm-hmm. You know, with the whole CDANS 2.0 and you know, questions and warnings that I don't know, people you know, doing the meme that Hollywood is cooked.
Yeah.
Because you know, CDANS is you know, gonna. Is showing that AI can do a lot more things than we were expecting. And while I'll agree that things have progressed a lot in the last couple of years, I'd say just in the last year, just as far as what AI is able to replicate and what it's able to do. But the reason that Hollywood is cooked is not because AI is going to take over. It's just because Hollywood sucks.
It's true.
It's just how it is. Like, Hollywood has dug its own grave, and it keeps on burying itself. You know, keep on burying itself until there's nothing left.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, I've seen, a lot of clips of AI. Yeah, it's a lot of just like funny, ridiculous stuff, and yeah, they're just like AI, Hollywood's cooked,
right?
But I mean, we've talked a lot about how just CGI has totally plummeted in the quality of it, and probably budget cuts a lot of the time and just whatever. But it's I mean, when you have something like AI that, you know, does the highest quality ever you know, CGI scenes, if you want to call them, and
computer generated.
Yeah, but yeah, and you and I have talked about that, and how a lot of the even CGI is partially computer generated stuff. And
yeah, but it's like CGI is a lot like modern day CGI in a lot of films has lost that artistic touch that humans give to a lot of these things. Like, you look back and like mid-2000s, you had movies like you know, further back, Lord of the Rings, you know, like we've talked about some of the CGI, you know, even with like the 4K editions, the lower quality of CGI that was, you know, lower quality by today's standards, you know, was, you know, kind of noticeable, but it's still decent, you know. And then compared to a lot of things, like especially with superhero movies today, where it just looks fake, it feels fake, it takes you out of the world. And but like you know, go back to like Pirates of the Caribbean and like, you know, the Dead Man's Chest with Davy Jones and his crew. Like, you watch that and like you're immersed in that world. You feel like, oh, this is 100%. Real. It looks like it could be real. It doesn't. You know, you don't have that uncanny valley or that fakeness to it.
The scene of Davy Jones playing the piano is just insane that that is CGI.
Yeah, absolutely. They're able to create that, and it's like we've lowered our standards so much where it's like, you know, most films that use computer generation, unless it's like got that artistic touch where people are like actually putting the work into it that's needed. Because I think a lot of the issues is that CGI, you know, visual effects artists are not given enough money, resources, or time to give a finished product.
Right.
And at least that's what I've like heard, yeah. Especially with a lot of superhero movies as of late. It's just they're not given enough time to do it.
Yeah, they're like, this is how much we are paying you. And it's like, well, that's going to cut your time, the time that we put into it, in half.
Yeah.
And so if you do that, it's going to look worse.
Right.
And it, like, it has. Yeah.
And like the expectation for movies, like at this point, is, you know, you film for maybe 6 months at the most, and you're doing post-production for like a year, and then the movie's out. Like year and a half to 2 years is kind of like the the window now to make movies, when it used to be a lot longer, it seems like. And
yeah,
I think,
well, yeah, well, filming has I mean, 3 months is about the standard for filming a movie.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what they're like, where they're at, like with I'm trying to think, like, you know, Doomsday, I don't know like how much time they're spending filming
Doomsday, who knows,
but like something like that, yeah, they're probably spending 6 months on, which is a lot longer than they should be.
I guess that why that was in my head is I've been setting up on a lot of Christopher Nolan, and he usually, I think he spends closer to 6 months on his films, but it's because he does practical effects,
yeah,
and he puts a lot more work into on the filming side than the post-production side.
Yeah,
so but yeah, like the yeah, 3 to 6 months at the moment.
Yeah, you know,
3 months is typical.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, 3 months, I would say, for like any generic movie, probably upwards of 6 months for a superhero movie or a big blockbuster or whatever.
Right.
Would be, yeah, your standard, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, so it's just the quality's gone down. You see this with animation as well. You know, people wonder why, you know, why handmade, hand-drawn animation is kind of doesn't exist anymore, and from what I've heard, it's basically like there's just no one that knows how to do it anymore, like they used to. Like they've lost the ability to do, to create really good hand-drawn animation like they used to, and now it's, you know, it's all made on a computer. And I saw another thing where it's like a lot of animated characters aren't, like, they don't portray humans anymore very well. Especially look at, like, Pixar movies. They have these weird, like, bubbly characters that are supposed to be humans, you know, but they don't have actual human traits that you typically would see. I think there was a big period in with Disney, or I think a lot of anime films where, like, there was a specific artistic style in animation. I'm thinking, like, what's Atlantis and Road to El Dorado. I'm sure there's a handful of other ones. Just like kind of those, that era of animation where, you know, they were drawing and creating humans, and, you know, who had human traits, characters that we could relate to. But now it's like these weird bubbly characters, bubble looking character. I don't know how to describe it. And then, or like humans obviously portraying, you know, or not, sorry, animals portraying human characters, which we saw, of course, you know, early on. And, you know, think of like Robin Hood and Disney, you know, it's one of my favorite animated films. But that's, like, you know, that movie's all hand-drawn, and they did a good job at capturing the emotions of these animal characters portraying human emotions and stuff. And even Toy Story does a good job with that. And
I think one of the only companies going against that is the guys that made the Into the Spider-Verse movies.
Yeah, Sony Animation. Yeah.
And they just recent, those same guys made Goat. I don't know if you saw that. It's the Steph Curry movie.
Yeah, I'm planning on taking my voice to see that, actually. But
they did the animation for that, and it's the same style, of course, you can easily see. You can see they care about the craft that they're doing, and they put a lot of work into it, and they spend years making it. I think the first one took 3 years. I think the second one took 3 years, and
this third one probably never happened.
but that's all for other reasons.
Well, and actually it goes back to what I was saying, is the reason that they had to delay the third one is because they weren't giving the animators enough time to work on their craft. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a big thing. I think a lot of the animators quit or something, like halfway through production, because they just were not given enough time to do the work that they were supposed right. that they needed to do to give a complete project.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Interesting. So kind of, I don't know, enough about that. One big thing in the news as of late, it's been going on for a couple months now, but Warner Bros., the great Warner Bros., mm-hmm. has been up for sale for a little while, and there's been a bidding war between Netflix and Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, at first it seemed like Netflix was going to win, and then Paramount, and then I think Netflix came in with a better deal, and then Paramount came in with another deal, and now Paramount or Warner Bros. Has chosen Paramount's deal over the Netflix deal, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And sounds like Paramount is going to be purchasing Warner Bros.
Yeah.
Now, Tobias, what have been your thoughts on this? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
I mean, yeah. I've seen various people. Some are being sarcastic, I'm pretty sure. Some aren't. But that, you know, oh, it's better that Paramount buy it than Netflix. But it's ultimately same dragon, two heads. It's, I mean, it's just as bad that Paramount bought it than Netflix. I couldn't care less who actually buys it. It's the fact that it's up for sale to begin with, a company like that. And they're selling because, I mean, the film industry is changing. These companies, they're not making the money they used to. The giant that was Warner Bros. Has fallen. It's being sold to another company. I mean, the IPs that Warner Bros. Owns is crazy. And the fact that it's being sold with those IPs is just insane. And Paramount, they own a good amount of IPs and stuff already. And with this this addition, they'll have a lot more. And there's going to be a lot more of these, you know, worlds all owned by one company. And it's just not good. It's never good. And it didn't matter who bought it, honestly, right. to me.
They weren't bidding over a successful company.
Yeah, no.
Like, there was this massive bidding war, and it wasn't over a company that is really worth what they're paying.
Yeah.
The stock price of Warner Bros. Was, I think, at like $11 a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and Paramount's basically buying it at $33 or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like tripled the price for a company that's not worth anything. And Paramount, who already has a lot of debt, is now acquiring not only
$110 billion more.
Yeah, a whole bunch more debt that Warner Bros. Already has, because they're taking on everything. Like, they own everything. So, like, Netflix, if they would have bought it, I think the news side and maybe a couple other things weren't going to actually be owned. I don't know everything mm-hmm. exactly, but Paramount's like bought everything that Warner Bros. Is attached to and mm-hmm. everything they own. And it's, it's now all Warner Bros.'s debt, which they had a lot, is now given to Paramount. And then Paramount's also going more in debt by buying all this. You know, Netflix actually had basically cash. they have a lot of liquidity, and they were able to actually purchase it for what they were offering.
And that's why a lot of people thought that Warner Bros. Wasn't going to take Paramount's offer, because it wasn't a cash offer. And
Well, and the benefit is more towards the shareholders now, because they're buying it for a higher price. And so, you know, if you would have bought Warner Bros. Stock, you know, 3 months ago, you would almost tripled your investment there, but it's just, it's wild to see. It's not, it's just another big another failing company buying another failing company. And
yeah.
It's not, so more, so it's all going to be brought under, it's now brought under one umbrella of just a mess of a failed company. Mm-hmm. You know, Paramount, you know, they've been going downhill. You know, like, they own Star Trek, and Star Trek's an absolute shambles. They have this show out right now that's the gayest thing I've ever heard of. And that's not even an exaggeration. And it's,
yeah,
and that's failing. They're doing nothing with the Star Trek franchise that's of any worth. And I know there's a whole bunch of other properties they own, but now, you know, they're going to have the rights to, you know, Harry Potter, the DC universe, the Lord of the Rings, Looney Tunes, I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is one of those. Looney Tunes.
I got it right here. Mission Impossible, Transformers. I thought Transformers
These are
was
Paramount. These are Paramount, right? Because Mission Impossible is Paramount. Because that's Sundance, which...
So this must be...
But like Scooby-Doo, another one. You know, a lot of, like, cartoons that we...
Yeah, I think this was a list of what they'll have now, including what they already own.
Right.
Because they'll have Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Star Trek, Mission Impossible, Transformers, Conjuring, A Quiet Place, Mortal Kombat, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry, Beetlejuice, Gremlins, SpongeBob, Avatar, the Last Airbender, and Dora the Explorer.
Okay. Can I tell you an episode of Dora? And like, all of DC. Ice agents are at my door.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They'll have all of DC. They'll have Comedy Central, MTV, Showtime, TNT.
CNN.
Yeah, Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, CNN, HBO, HBO Max.
Yep. It's all owned by a company that hates you.
Yeah. But yeah, they've, it's, they're just.
And this is like, if Netflix would have bought Warner Bros., you know, it would have had a very negative effect on movie theaters. You would have seen less movies go to theaters because Netflix is all about streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Paramount, you're still going to see a lot less. You'll see more than it would have been with Netflix, but you're still going to see a lot less because just because there's now one company managing all these properties. When Disney bought 20th Century Fox, I think it like took like 10 or so films that you usually see each year off of this off of the movie slate, just because there's not two studios pumping out films. It's not one. Now, so we're basically going to get less films and less quality of films still, because it's still just slop that's getting thrown out, and so it's going to continue to implode on itself until there's not much left. So,
it won't be long before we hear about another major deal, another major company being sold to one of these big companies. I mean, like you were saying, Paramount, like, they've really, they've accomplished nothing. And, I don't see them being successful by owning Warner Bros. I don't see that being a long-term success for them. I don't see them doing any good with it. And, they're super gay. Like, they own Sonic, right? Paramount? So that's like probably their only successful thing right now is the Sonic franchise. Those movies have done really well. it's just going to, all these great companies and IPs that were created probably mostly by Christians, they're all going to be gone.
Well, Warner Bros. Never mind.
Not Warner Bros., but like, I mean, like, you know, like Lord of the Rings. Or,
properties. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's another one that I was thinking of that was probably Christian, but I don't remember. No.
Oh, yeah. like yeah. a decent amount, but well, yeah, mostly in these animated shows, I think as well, like
yeah.
the ones mm-hmm. that we grew up watching.
Yeah, a lot of the
Christians made these yeah, stories. Like, a lot of them, some of them. But
I'm thinking of like you know like old Cartoon Network stuff, mm-hmm. Looney Tunes, that mm-hmm. type of stuff was probably all Christians.
Yeah, yeah. Cartoon Network had a lot of Christian artists that drew for them, their animators. But yeah. Now it's just all slop, you know. Scooby-Doo, you know, like yeah. they have like that Velma show where Velma's a lesbian and everyone's gay and
yeah and it's like just a disgusting adult show.
Yeah, it's,
and
yeah, it's like basically it's what
ridiculous
marketed. Well, I don't know if it was marketed towards kids. I don't know, but
yeah,
still it's yeah it's atrocious to see. It's sad to see. Just but it's gonna they're gonna continue to eat themselves alive and you know and go for it. We have there's a lot of independent creators like us that are wanting to build and are seeking to build and tell mm-hmm. good stories. And
yeah,
we don't have, you know, billions of dollars to buy Warner Bros, but you know, we have a vision and a mission and a desire and hope for the future. And
yeah, absolutely.
Perseverance and fighting yep. and building. So. Yeah, but yeah. And
a lot of projects on our slates.
Yes.
That we are working to fund and
very excited about too.
Yes. And actually plug, if you want to support us, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/fearlesswandering. And we have a few different tiers there. And yeah, any tier that you pick is just a way to support us in our mission. And of course, we try to treat you well. You got a bunch of movies there and a TV show and exclusive podcast and everything's ad free. So you don't have to deal with any kind of ads. Some of the stuff we put for free on YouTube, but you have to deal with a lot of ads and then the stuff of course that we don't have on YouTube and the stuff that's exclusively there. There is a handful of things and those are all ad free and yeah, great way to support us. So head over to patreon.com/fearlesswandering.
Absolutely. And one more note on this. Netflix is really the only one that's kind of won out in this because they have to pay Netflix. Paramount has to pay Netflix $2.8 billion because of a previous agreement that Netflix had with Warner Bros. And so when when Warner Bros. Terminated that deal, it resulted in Paramount knew this if they would, you know, if they mm-hmm. won the bid, they had to pay Netflix $2.8 billion to cancel the agreement that they already had with Warner Bros. That Netflix had with Warner Bros. So Netflix is getting a payday. You know,
yeah.
A company that already had enough money to buy Warner Bros. Is now getting paid $2.8 billion from Paramount. On top of what they're paying for Warner Bros, and it's
yeah, wild. That's insane.
Yeah,
they're so far in the hole. It's crazy. Yeah,
there's no way Paramount's gonna last much longer. And like you know, I don't know if you know much about Taylor Sheridan, mm-hmm. the guy that did Yellowstone, and he's Landman's one that's really popular right now, mm-hmm. and he's done like multiple shows for Paramount. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's stuff I wouldn't necessarily recommend. Some good storytelling there, but it's very popular. He's very popular. He is now leaving Paramount because of a deal that has with some other, I can't remember who else it was. Hmm. I wanted to say Netflix. I don't think it was Netflix, but he has a deal with someone else. So he's leaving Paramount. And so like, that's the only thing that they had going for them was the popularity of his shows because he's seems to be a good storyteller and a good director and producer.
Yeah.
But now he's leaving. And so, you know, Paramount's, they've got nothing. So there's that.
Yeah.
So moving on. This is the debate section of our live stream. No, Tobias, I do have, this is a conversation that Tobias and I have not had really that we want to have. This is related to film, and this is honestly me. I'm trying to learn more about the inner workings of the film world and whatnot. And we're both kind of working through a lot of these things as we're, you know, looking to make movies. And there's a couple of questions I had and things that I want to hear Tobias' thoughts on and maybe some disagreements that we may have in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Tobias, what are some of your opinions on IMAX films and aspect ratios and different uses of aspect ratios in film? And maybe even give a little bit of explanation of what I mean by that.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's many different aspect ratios. There's a long history of aspect ratios and why they've changed over the years. I mean, if you can go back to the start, you had your 4:3, which was, you know, your tube TV. It's 4:3. It's almost square.
Very boxy.
Yeah. For perspective, that's what Zack Snyder's Justice League was 4:3. Yeah, very close to square. If you look at it, you'd think it's square, but mm-hmm. not quite.
Where now you would see, if you played that on your TV, it'd have black boxes
on
the side.
It had black bars, yeah, on both black sides. Bars, yeah. And, yeah, so that's where we started. And for a long time, square was, and it would be called square, but your square TV would be your typical standard size, which was, I mean, really well into the early 2000s. Was, you know, it was always square, and you'd rarely see any kind of widescreen type of thing. And then you got your widescreen that came out. So you have your full screen, your widescreen. It was a big debate back then about which one was better, which one would win.
The good old days.
And yeah, over time, widescreen won out the popularity, and people thought it was better and wanted to go with that. But now we're getting into a time with IMAX where it seems like we're going back to square again. And so you got IMAX, which is, it's not quite 4:3, but it's right between 4:3 and 3:2. And that's kind of where, that's where IMAX is heading. It's not necessarily where home TVs and stuff are heading, but I see that could be happening again. But people will say, argue like, oh, but like, we're missing out on so much. If you do this, if you make it taller, you'll see more up and down. It's like, well, yeah, but then we're going to get back to square, and then 20 years down the road, they're going to be like, hey, if you go wider, you're going to see more if you go wider. Like, yeah. But on more of the technical side, where a lot of this comes from is actual film, the film that feeds through the camera. So going back to the origin of the square TV, the 4:3, mm-hmm. you had your film that was 35 millimeter. That was the standard, that has been the standard for a long time. The actual size is like, I think it would be, it's about 3:2. So mm-hmm. it's your 3:2, which is more widescreen than 4:3. 4:3 is more square. 3:2 is.
That's like the 30 millimeter.
That's the 35 millimeter. And I think it came out to that because of some technical thing with they would feed the audio feed with the film to keep it together when they were filming. And so it like came out to 3:2. There's a whole history behind that. You can go look it up. There's plenty of videos on YouTube that talk about it. But you got your 3:2 because of the film. And this is where it all started, because of film, like actual film.
Not digital.
Yeah. And so that was the standard for a long time. A full frame has always been 3:2 because of that. And because of the history I just said, 3:2 has always been a full frame. And I don't know, I don't know why they would cut it to 4:3. I'm sure there's some sort of history there, but probably like a technological,
would it, I mean,
transfer between that,
that'd and, be more just would fit TV,
or maybe like, okay, no, I might have gotten that wrong. I think maybe the 4:3 was, it was 4:3 because that's where they added
that's
the film.
Probably right,
yeah. So that's where they added the audio, and it had to get cut to 4:3, which made it more square. Okay. And that's why it was that for so long. And then we got, started getting digital, but we kept, you know, like with the same thing of having this same size. It's just the standard. We create these things that from technology, from physical things that we actually feel that we're limited to have these very specific standards. And then when we could go outside of those standards, we often won't. and we'll stick to these other things. But somewhere along the line, they went from full screen to widescreen, and they so you had your 3:2 full frame cut down, and it would create your widescreen look. So you got your 16:9 is that's what your TV screen is, that's what your laptop screen is 16:9. Mm-hmm. That's kind of become the standard. That's what everything is set to. And then you can also go down to like CinemaScope, which would be 21:9. So you got all these different aspect ratios, and a lot of them, I would say 16:9 is probably going to be, that's probably my favorite. I think it's when you have a big screen in front of you, if you had like an IMAX size screen in front of you and you're looking at it, the 16:9 would be like, that is what you see out of your eyes. That's what you're without getting into your peripheral vision of what you can't see. A 16:9, I think, fits perfectly. There could be an argument for a 3:2, maybe. And there's plenty of people that like 3:2. I think the 3:2, yeah, could work. But 16:9, I think, is what our vision would most closely resemble.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's my favorite. But you have these people that are like, well, no, like, if you cut down, you're missing some of the frame. It's like, okay, sure. You, like, there could be more, yes. But when the person was filming, they were well aware of those lines. Often when they're filming, they'll actually pre-cut it so that they see exactly what they're going to see when they're filming. When it's done. So they'll pre-cut it on their monitor so that they know what they're filming, what's going to be in the shot. So you're only going to see whatever the director or producer wants you to see, no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if it's full frame, you can adjust everything so that it's exactly what you want to see. Zack Snyder wanted 4:3. So,
isn't that reason just because he intended it to be an IMAX? So that full boxy feel, I read somewhere that the reason that they did in 4:3 is because, for instance, superheroes, unless you're like Superman flying, superheroes are typically, you know, vertical standing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you want to get that full length on screen. They're you know, inhumans, they're gods in a sense. Yeah. Like, you want that scale,
right,
for your superheroes.
Yeah, it could be because of IMAX, but that reason of like, mm-hmm, that's like an artistic reasoning, and I get that. So like, I think there's exceptions to this, but my worry is that our standard is going to change from the 16:9 to a square again, because people are like, oh, we're missing out on the up and down if we are staying at a widescreen. And
can't you have both, like, where it's, you get the full, isn't that what IMAX is doing? So IMAX is 65 to 70 millimeter.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me get to that.
Good. You're good.
So where was I? What was the last thing I'd said?
That we're getting to, going back, worried about going back.
No, before we got off track there.
Oh, sorry.
Zack Snyder, he had specific choices, right, to go with 4:3 for whatever reasons, most likely artistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that, and that's great. I love it. Do it. People wanted, you know, plenty of movies do CinemaScope where you'll have black bars on the top and the bottom. Love it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Most TV shows and stuff are going to be your 16:9. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to have any black bars. Depending on your screen, of course, but most likely your screen is 16:9 and you're not going to see any black bars.
Yeah.
So that's what your TV show will fill the screen. But yeah, so full frame is 3:2. And so, to go anywhere, you'll crop it to what you want. And so a lot of people will say, oh, we're missing out on, we're losing footage. If we were wasting footage, if we cut that. And I just don't see that as an argument. It's like, well, you're just seeing what the artist wants you to see. Mm-hmm. You're not losing, you could argue that you're losing some quality, because if you have 4K, so if you're filming, so say you're filming 4K, nothing's filmed in 4K anymore. It's all 6K, 8K, and beyond that. And I'll get to that in a minute. But mm-hmm. if you're filming 4K, you're filming, it's equivalent to 3000 by 2000, but it's actually like 4032 by 3800 something. No, that'd be too high. I don't know what the number is. Mm-hmm. Whatever the number is. But if you so say you cut down your side, so your 3000 number, you're going to cut that down to, you know, 2000. So now you're at 4000 by 2000, so you could argue, well, you're losing some quality, because now you're zooming in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you're not actually losing any quality, because your screen is still 16:9. You just have a black bar, and so now you're more focused on what's in the screen,
yeah,
rather than the full thing. So you're not actually losing any quality. So getting into IMAX, I've spent plenty of time on that. Let's get into IMAX. IMAX is 70 millimeter. So it's not the 35 millimeter, it's 75 millimeter. 35 millimeter can record up to, I think, is that a 6 or 8K? I think it's 8K mm-hmm. is that it can film up to. 70 millimeter can film up to 12K. Or maybe it's at least 12K, and maybe it can go beyond that. It's okay, just we
probably, to 16.
I think it might be 16. Maybe. I think it's 12 to 16.
Uh-huh.
Is like the lowest. The lowest quality is like 12K, and then the highest quality would be 16K. Okay. I think there's just, we have technological. Like we can't. We're not even. I don't think we're quite high. Like our screens can't
render
six, like we don't have 16K yeah. screens. We're at like 6K screens. Like that's it.
Can we get to that point? Like
but IMAX I think so. Okay. I think IMAX is pretty close, like a genuine IMAX screen. If you get like if your theater has a real genuine IMAX. Real yeah. IMAX screen, because there are like kind of
Limax.
fake IMAX screens. Yeah. And so if you get your real IMAX screen, it's probably, my guess would be 8K or something like that.
Yep.
I don't know. You could look it up. But anyway, so you got your 35 millimeter with 35 millimeter that goes up to 8K, and then IMAX that films up to 16K. So people again will say like, oh, but we're losing quality if we cut. We want our full frame. Did I explain that the full frame is, it's right between 4:3 and 3:2.
Mm-hmm.
That's a full frame IMAX screen. IMAX, the way they film it, it's their full frame is right between those two. And okay. It's what is it? It's like 1.43 to 1.
To 1. Yeah.
Yeah. So IMAX, they want the full frame. We don't want to waste. We don't want to cut from the top and bottom to make it a little more widescreen. Let's just keep it full frame. Mm-hmm. I think that's ridiculous. Just cut the top and bottom. Just okay. cut it.
Okay.
Make it widescreen. Make it 16:9. Make it what our eyes will see. If you go any higher than that, I'm gonna be looking up at the top and then missing the bottom, or I'm gonna be looking right in the middle and it's gonna be kind of blurry on top and bottom. Or I'm just going to have to sit way back, and it's like, well, I might as well just have a smaller screen.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
That's all that working up. You got all your history there working
film
up to.
Film school, what to buy.
That's, I think it is
new
so
Patreon show.
Ridiculous to complain about or to want a square screen when you could have an actual properly sized screen, which would be 16:9 or okay. arguably 3:2.
Okay.
There is some of IMAX is filmed on, so it's still 70 millimeter, but there's 5 perf and there's 15 perf, perforations. So IMAX, properly filmed IMAX is filmed with actual film, actual, reels with mm-hmm. film going through them. You got your 15 perf is, so it's 70 millimeters wide. Your film is 70 millimeters wide.
The film side.
Yeah, and then each still is either 5 perforations long or 15 perforations long. So either way, you got your 70 millimeter wide, but your height is going to be different. But it's actually not your height because it's either going to be going through the camera vertically or horizontally. If it's going vertically, that is the... I think that's the 5 perf. So the 5 perf actually is kind of a wider widescreen. Mm-hmm. I think it's equivalent to about a 21.9, which is your anamorphic widescreen. And which is weird because the way this all got brought up was because we heard that Dune Part 3 filmed in both of those mm-hmm. in a 15 perf and a 5 perf. So if I see on that screen it shrink down to a tiny thing, I'm gonna be even more upset.
I think they did that with Dune 2.
Yeah, they probably did.
There's some scenes.
Yeah.
Well, which is what I want to get into a little bit as well, is like going back to what you said. It's a creative choice.
Yeah.
And a lot of directors are doing that where they're filming on different cameras. Yeah. Christopher Nolan does this, where it's like Interstellar. The scenes that are in space are the wider mm-hmm. or the more full screen, like the yeah. you know, the full ratio, in IMAX, and then some of like the intimate closer up scenes are smaller. Mm-hmm. So you have the more black. You'll see the black bars, mm-hmm. and the letter boxes and stuff. So.
Yeah. And so then you have your 15 perf, which would be your horizontal. It's going to go through the camera like this. But it's like I said, it's almost square. It's a little less than 4.3,
mm-hmm.
so it's a little wider than your 4.3, which itself is not a square. But you'll have your that'll run horizontally, and it will. They're both going to be the longer way it is so the width for because. Yeah, so I think the 15 perforations would be equivalent to the equivalent to 70 millimeters. So I think it's almost, that wouldn't make any sense because I know it's not squared.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird how they do it, but mm-hmm. either way, you got your 70 millimeter no matter what, and so you got your 16K no matter what. And and I believe the horizontal full frame, your full IMAX film is going to be a higher resolution. That's probably the one that's pushing the 16K, mm-hmm. and my guess would be the other one would be 12K.
Yeah, it's 12 to 18K. Is okay, yeah. What we see.
Okay, 18K. Yeah, yeah. So that one's probably 18K. The full frame. Yeah, and but yeah, I mean, I get the creative side of it. If that's how you want to make a movie is to have it be square and anamorphic in the same movie, then fine. I think that is really weird. I get it. It looks great on IMAX. Mm-hmm. I would love if IMAX was 16.9, like I said. If IMAX was 16.9, that would be perfect. Okay. And many, many, many movies will be your 21.9, and it'll widen to 16.9 and go back down. There's a resolution I think there's one that's just under 16.9, but I can't think of what it is. But I think there's one in between. Anyway, mm-hmm. you'll have your two sizes change in the movies. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And I get that creativeness. So if you have your anamorphic and then you're cutting into, like, say you have a character that's it's 21.9 and your character's looking over a cliff and having it widen to your 16.9, you don't notice, mm-hmm. but you're feeling that, like, oh, we're looking over a cliff now.
Right.
And it, like, comes at you. Like, I love that. That's great. But going for all the way from 21.9 to 3.2 is insane.
Big jump.
And I already think that, it's more square than 3.2. I think, yeah, IMAX is getting a little too close to square is my problem.
So, like, similar to what I said with Interstellar, it's like, you know, when you're seeing the scenes in space, like,
yeah.
it makes sense that it's...
So, yeah, so I if, like, 10% of your film is in that, mm-hmm. I would be fine with it.
Yeah. Or, like, more than so that, like... A lot of Western films will specifically film in the wider mm-hmm. Ratio, 2.39 is, like, that's the ultra wide.
Yeah.
One, you know, like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly is one that does this, but mostly because you're capturing vast landscapes,
right.
and like you're not you don't need the scale necessarily, the height. You want the width and yeah. seeing the land, the world that is there, that the characters are in, you know. So I think I see it as a tool. Like, I don't think that we'll ever go back to mm-hmm. just strictly the box.
Right.
I think like what you're saying with IMAX, like, it is more obviously a preference.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with seeing the very tall screen and yeah. getting everything that you can, even if, like, I'm having to move around, look, like,
yeah.
I'm kind of okay with that, because if it's just, because it's IMAX is very exclusive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you don't get to see every movie. Every time you go see a movie, you're not seeing it in IMAX.
Right.
You know, IMAX, even movies that are put in IMAX, they have a very limited run. You know, like, Dune Part 3 is going to have exclusive IMAX screenings over Avengers Doomsday. You know, but it's because Dune, for one, I think had the dates set put in before Doomsday, because mm-hmm. Doomsday changed its release date. But people so they have, like, and like, it's specifically filmed for that purpose. But in a way, I would say, is it's not that, like, you know, if you go see Dune Part 3 and not in IMAX, just a normal screen, like, I don't see it as necessarily you're missing anything. I just see it as when you go to IMAX, you just get more.
Mm-hmm.
You get more for what you pay for. And if you don't prefer that, like you're saying,
yeah,
I think that's fine. But it,
yeah,
but there is also still that artistic intent of the director wanting it to be viewed in a specific format,
yeah,
even if it is very exclusive, like IMAX. Yeah. Like, I'm okay with that.
I love the idea of a giant screen, mm-hmm. giant sound. Like, the sound in those are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to one of those and then you go to a standard movie, you can clearly see the difference, or hear the difference,
mm-hmm.
and see the difference. I mean, like, those screens are giant, and I love the giant screens. I think mm-hmm. they're great. And maybe most of the movies aren't in that aspect ratio. I don't even know what they, like, if, like, I don't know what percentage of Dune or Dune 2 or even Dune 3 are going to mm-hmm. be for, like, what percentage of it was actually in that almost square.
I do think frame. Most of it, especially Dune 2, because a lot of it is landscape and
yeah.
like, capturing the world of Arrakis, and
yeah.
he wanted it all to be seen.
So, like, with that, like, I would, yeah. Like,
I think that's, like, I would the scene where he's riding on the worm, I'm pretty sure that cuts down.
Yeah.
Just because it's more an action. So, like, action scenes, mm-hmm. typically, from what I understand, to action scenes, they usually it shrinks down to get mm-hmm. that more closer interaction.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what film it was. There was one film where it's, like, it specifically, like, the aspect ratio specifically changes. Specific, I think Michael Bay with the Transformers movies. Whenever there's a fight, it kind of boxes in a little bit, and in order to kind of get that closeness and feel that, like, feel the, like, kind of more close up mm-hmm. experience in the fight. Because if it's, you know, wide aspect ratio, and, you know, then it's like you're kind of taken a little bit back a little bit, and then instead when it comes closer and you're getting mm-hmm. closer into the action.
Yeah.
So it's an artistic it can be used artistically as a tool for storytelling, even if you're not realizing it and recognizing it. Most people don't. Yeah. I think of it like with vinyl and, and vinyl records. Like, ninety-nine percent of people, like, probably can't tell the difference between a vinyl record being played or a digital song.
Yeah,
you know, but there are the the music connoisseurs that do see the difference, do recognize it, and it's, you know, consider vinyl to have that crisper tone. And vinyl records sales are like, are, you know, going up like crazy, and people mostly probably because of that, they want that, they want the vintage feel, and they want the they want the nostalgia of having vinyls, I guess. But
yeah,
so I think that's it's just, but you can't, but most people just can't really tell the difference. And so when you're watching a movie, you may not be able to tell the difference, but this like aspect ratio can be used as a tool to tell your story in unique ways. And
so, like, that's so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if so, say Dune 3, if Dune 3 was like 80% 16:9 and then 10% of it was their the anamorphic, you know, which 21:9 and then the other 10% is the full IMAX, I think that would be perfect. Like, I think that's what you should strive for.
Okay.
Because even having that giant 16:9 on those giant screens would look incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd still get your story across.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can even get into like how IMAX transfers over to physical media, or even, I mean, I guess just post IMAX theater, because your streaming of it is also going to just not be great, because then they cut it. I mean, it'll never be seen like that again.
True.
It'll, like, it will forever be cut down to at most 16:9, and those scenes that were filmed for full frame IMAX are never going to be seen like that again.
I think, like, and I'm kind of okay with that, in that, like I said, I feel like when people will watch those movies on streaming or for, on, you know, DVD, whatever, like, they don't feel like they're missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go see IMAX, you just get that much more.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like you're really losing anything necessarily, though I get it. Like, you know, it will never be seen the way that it was originally intended. But,
like, I also think the quality of it is so high that if they filmed it with the intent of having it 16:9,
yeah,
if they cut down the sides, so film it in 16:9 with that intent, cut down the sides for your IMAX, you got your IMAX scene, then when you go to put it in on DVD, it's going to look normal.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Because you genuinely lose a lot of what the director wanted you to see when you transfer it to DVD. You can look at those images, like, there's, like, the spaceship on the planet when I think it's the first movie, and, like, one of the first scenes. It cuts off, like, half the ship. In the IMAX, you could see the whole ship. And when you see it on DVD, the ship that the director intended you to see, you no longer see.
Interesting.
But had they added more of the landscape to the sides, you would see it.
Okay.
Instead of cutting off the top, cut from the sides, then you can see it, and then just add the sides for when you put it on DVD.
Okay. Interesting.
So that's another one of my issues.
Yeah.
That is the way that you actually are losing what the director wanted you to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Interesting. Yeah. So your issue is more with the exclusivity of IMAX, and that it's, you know, these directors put all this work and money into their project, and it can only be properly, genuinely viewed a certain way.
Yeah.
And then once it's in it, you know, once
for like a weekend IMAX or whatever,
for
a
couple weeks, maybe. And
yeah, a few weeks. And then that's it. And, the way they filmed it and intended it to be seen, the shot that they intended you to see, you'll never see. So, like, I would rather them just, because what they're going to do is they're going to cut the tops off, top and bottom, and then you're going to see whatever is left over. But had they, when they put it onto IMAX, cut the sides off, you could see the whole thing. That way, when they come back to put it on DVD or streaming, they just add the sides back in.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have your full image of what the director wanted you to see. Because what you're losing that way is just some landscape. The quality is so high. 18K is insanely high quality. You're not going to... Mm-hmm. Talking about noticing something, you're not going to notice a difference between by cutting off the sides.
But
when you go and take your image and you cut off the top and bottom and throw it into a DVD, it's just not going to look nearly as good, and you're going to miss what the director wants you to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. A lot to think about. It's good stuff. Yeah, we'll go see Dune 3 in IMAX.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give you our thoughts.
Yeah.
In December. Great. But yeah, no, that's interesting. A lot to think about. Because like there's a couple of other uses of aspect ratio that I find interesting. For like some horror movies, they'll use a more, at least for some scenes, a more 4:3 boxy aspect ratio for certain scenes in order to kind of feel that tightness and that claustrophobic feel that the scene maybe requires. And it's not the whole movie, it's just some scenes that will just kind of close in.
And I think that's great. Definitely
like, necessary. I know Long Legs, the Nicolas Cage horror movie that came out last year or two years ago. I think all the flashback scenes have that box aspect ratio. I remember seeing it in theaters and like I actually spotted that. It's like, oh, it's a different, there's different aspect ratio here and different, they're changing and it's boxing in on the flashbacks. Yeah. And
so like with movies like that, they start at 16:9.
Okay.
Like your full frame is 16:9 and they literally add in black bars when they're editing it. They literally add in those black bars so that way they can take them away or add them or add some to the sides or whatever, but you're staying, your standard is that 16:9.
But so with IMAX though, so are you basically saying that they need to change the film cells, like how it's put on film, because what they're capturing on the IMAX camera is not what is going straight to.
I don't know why they couldn't. I mean, I don't see what's stopping them from making film, like literally just make the film the right size.
Okay.
But I also get like,
well, it's because they want to be able to show that, that not just the width, but the height of the landscape and the scenes.
Right.
That's their intent. That's just the intent.
But you could still do that if you just have 16:9.
Okay.
Just add the black bars wherever you want, and there you go.
Okay.
That's my point. And yeah, I don't know there's some technical reason they have to make the film that those specific sizes.
It's the biggest that they can get, basically.
Right.
So like you can't get much bigger than an IMAX screen unless it's like fully like around, like folding around you and behind you and everything. Like, it's what they.
But and like my point is like that they're gonna add black bars somewhere, so just you're gonna lose somewhere along the line, whether it's at the beginning, whether it's during filming, whether it's later, whatever. There's gonna be black bars added. They're gonna cut something off, but the director along the entire way is gonna be like, this is what I want the viewers to see on the screen, and so then we won't ever, like the IMAX will never see those again.
But that's like, I don't know. I feel like there could be a balance there because I don't want movie theaters ever go away. And I think what like guys like Christopher Nolan and Denis Villeneuve are doing is good for the film industry going forward. You know,
one of the reasons that like they won't transfer it is because, I mean, I think it's because they feel like, oh, like 4:3 is too square. Or whatever, just below 4:3, it's going to look too square on your screen.
It's more square,
and so it's going to be smaller. So like, if you have your full screen, add black bars to the side, and that's what it's going to look like. It's going to be smaller on your screen. So I think that's kind of why. But I say just leave it if that's what the director wanted you to see. Just leave it and put it on DVD that way. Maybe that would, you know, push directors to not make it so squared.
yeah,
and make it less squared. But you know, at some scenes, maybe make it square.
But then, wouldn't you be missing a lot of the landscape at that point?
You're gonna cut something off somewhere. Like,
all right, okay.
I feel like even on the IMAX, like,
yeah,
make the IMAX the IMAX if that's what you want. Like, it's gonna look great on IMAX, but when you get to DVD, well, director, why weren't you thinking about the DVD when you were making this scene?
Yeah, I think that's like more of, I don't know, because that's what specifically for them. That's what they intend. Like, that's why, like, Christopher Nolan doesn't like streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's yeah. known to say that he doesn't like streaming.
Yeah.
And that's why he only works with physical film. He doesn't like digital either. His whole film career has been, mm-hmm. he's exclusively film.
Yeah.
Because that's just how he wants, you know, he has his own creative reasons and artistic reasons for doing that. And when it comes to IMAX, his intent is for his product to be viewed this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like there's something commended about that. But then it's like, yeah, like what about beyond just the IMAX release schedule? Like, you know, you get it for a couple weeks and then
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, you're right. Like, I get what you're saying. But I think it's still, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot to think about. My brain hurts. Thanks for our film school today. It's fun.
Yeah.
The good conversations, yeah, to keep on ongoing.
Yeah.
And
like I said, I totally get the artistic side of using aspect ratios to your advantage to tell your story better.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to do that in a digital world. You could not do that in a film world.
Right.
That's
why I think, like, I'm not worried about ever going back to exclusive more boxy feel, because I think our 16:9 screens aren't going anywhere, and that's just how we'll always
I mean, I think you're right.
Movies and whatnot, and so mm-hmm. and almost so now there's vertical. Just there's so now, like, we just, there's a lot more tools at our disposal, I guess, and
for sure
for our use and
use
in different ways and for different, you know, even spliced throughout the films and create for different scenes and different character moments and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
So it's fun stuff.
Cool.
Ready to sign off?
Yep.
Thank you all for listening to this live stream. Please like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube and share it around on all the socials, and comment your preferred viewing method of film.
Mm-hmm.
And your favorite movie theater experience.
Yeah.
Let's hear that. Anyways.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, glorify God and watch good movies.
See ya.
We're out. Bye.
Bye. Cool. Now I know how to get you to talk.
What?
More.